All right, good morning to you. Good to see you today, and thank you for being here for our adult Bible class this morning. I want to go to a couple passages of Scripture this morning and look at a topic that's, I guess you could say, familiar. Colossians chapter 2 is where I'd like to start this morning, Colossians chapter 2. I also want to look at a psalm this morning, or part of a psalm, Psalm number 148, as we have some time together this morning. Thank you for being here. Brother Carter told me a little bit ago that his wife was home not feeling well today, but she gave me this thing to read here a couple services ago. And so I'll read it for you while you're looking at Colossians 2 and maybe putting your ribbon marker in Psalm 148. It says, "In the beginning, God covered the earth with broccoli and cauliflower and spinach, green and yellow and red vegetables of all kinds, so man and woman would live long and healthy lives. Then, using God's bountiful gifts, Satan created ice cream and donuts. Satan said, 'You want hot fudge with that?' And man said, 'Yes.' And woman said, 'I'll have another with sprinkles.' And lo, they gained 10 pounds or so. So God said, 'Try my fresh green salad.' And Satan presented crumbled blue cheese dressing and garlic toast on the side. And man and woman bought bigger clothes. God then said, 'I have sent you heart-healthy vegetable and olive oil in which to lightly saute the wholesome vegetables.' And Satan brought forth deep-fried coconut shrimp, chicken-fried steak, so big it eated its own platter, and chocolate cheesecake for dessert. And man's glucose levels spiked through the roof. God then brought forth running shoes so that his children might lose extra pounds. And Satan came forth with a cable TV with remote control so man would not have to toil changing the channels. And man and woman laughed and cried before the flickering light and started wearing stretch jogging suits. Then God brought forth lean meat so that man might consume fewer calories and still satisfy his appetite. And Satan created the 99-cent double cheeseburger and said, 'Would you like to supersize that?' And man said, 'Yes.' And man went into cardiac arrest. God sighed and created quadruple bypass surgery. And then Satan created Obamacare." There's a verse up on the screen there. I'm going to get into our topic this morning. We want to look at the topic of angels this morning. I'm just going to be able to give a little brief overview talking about angels in Scripture. But there's a verse up there, 1 John 5:19. It says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." You know, that's what that describes today. The whole world lieth in wickedness. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 1, verse 4, something like that, talks about this present evil world. So presently, the world is evil. It lieth in wickedness. Satan is the god of this world. He has a ungodly world system. He has opposition to God. And we understand that. But a lot of folks don't. You know, they think you make too much of being separate from the world or being different from the world, all those kinds of things, or not being consumed with the world. But there's so much in the Scripture that talks about Satan and his plan. I've talked a lot about that here in recent weeks and months. And here in Colossians 3, I want to look at a subject that it relates to Satan. And it refers to him because Satan's not a man. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to look at one thing here, verse number 18. And boy, it's hard to jump in the middle of this context here, but I just can't really talk about the context too much and have time to do this topical thing here this morning. Colossians 3:18, the Bible says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility." Religion has some stuff that gets you into a voluntary humility. What'd I say? Oh, I'm sorry, Colossians 2:18. I'm sorry. I'm going to be in Colossians 1 in a second, but I'm apologize for that. I don't know what y'all's problem was. It's right here where I'm looking. I'm just kidding. Colossians 2:18. I heard a murmuring amongst the people. All right, Colossians 2:18. My apologies. "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels." And that's what I wanted to get to this morning, worshiping of angels. I'm going to talk some more about this. I'd like to go back and talk about verses 16 and 17, but I guess I won't do that right now. talks about the feast days of the nation of Israel, God's prophecy program, and how there's a distinction between that and the church, which is his body. But I'll leave that alone for now. Angels are in style, even in that world that lieth in wickedness. Did you know that? Angels are in style. The world that lieth in wickedness doesn't like to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they like to talk about angels. There's songs that talk about angels. There's TV programs that talk about angels. There was a TV program. I never watched one episode of it, and I guess it was a good program as far as if you're weighing TV programs against other TV programs. But maybe one of your favorite shows is a show called Touched by an Angel. That just sounds sweet just to say that, doesn't it? Touched by an Angel. I think it ran for like, I don't know, 8 or 9 seasons on TV, probably in syndication now. I never watched any of those, but yet people like that stuff. It's sensational to think you have supernatural intervention in your daily life. It doesn't matter if you're saved or unsaved. People like that stuff. I do remember a show when I was younger called Highway to Heaven, where Charles Ingalls, I'm not going to Charles Ingalls, but that's how I know him, but I can't remember his name now. Thank you, Michael Landon. Little Joe, that's right, that's how we should know him, Little Joe. Anyway, he was an angel, you know, he came along and intervened in people's lives. I remember that. And there's other shows like that that have been on TV or will be now. It's a little more the angelic, or I guess you could say the supernatural shows are a little more dark and shady in nature. And yet they make movies about this kind of stuff. It's just a big deal. It's gained a lot of attention. The subject of angels is kind of I guess you could say an important thing. There was a movie made not all that many years ago about an angel, kind of like some of the mysticism, Greek mythology, let me say it that way, Greek mythology of tradition and all that kind of stuff. Even the show we watch at Christmas time, the movie we watch at Christmas time, has an angel on it, doesn't it? It's a Wonderful Life, right? Clarence, I mean, when you think of an angel, don't you think of Clarence? No, actually, probably don't if you read the Bible. But anyway, that's a popular subject, yet do you realize when it comes to explaining who an angel, what an angel is, or what their duties are, you don't need to go to Hollywood to get that description? You don't need to go to Hollywood to get that definition? It's where you need to go is the Word of God, of course, the Holy Scripture. And by the way, that's like that for everything. I know a lot of people like the movie The Passion of the Christ, and a lot of churches show it leading up to Easter Sunday and all that kind of stuff. And I guess you can take some good from it, and it shows the suffering that Christ went through, but it also shows it's not a scriptural account necessarily. Some of it's scriptural, I guess you could say. A lot of it's traditional, but it you don't understand when the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ, he met death. I told you this before. He was not defeated by death. That is such a wrong perception that all the movies that ever spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's Jesus of Nazareth or the Passion of the Christ, they all get it wrong. They all get it wrong. And what do you expect when you have a bunch of unsaved people making the movie? Yeah, and don't try and make them saved just because they made a movie about Jesus. They're not saved. And it doesn't matter if it was the History Channel and their series recently that a lot of people stay at home on Sunday night just to watch that. And you know they played it on Wednesday nights too, by the way. I think they played it on Sunday night. If I remember right, I could be speaking incorrectly. I think they played it on Sunday night, then they replayed it on Wednesday night. I think that's kind of funny to me. But anyway, where you're supposed to be coming together and worshiping and learning more about the Lord together, you know, this is a good substitute I can put in here, you know, and God approves of this. Okay, let everybody be persuaded in his own mind, but I'm not so sure about it. Myself, I'm not necessarily persuaded. I do believe in angels, but I don't believe what the world says about angels. You know what I believe about angels? I believe the reason I believe in angels and what I believe about angels comes from the same place that teaches me about God and about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the Word of God. That's where your belief and your faith has to be founded. That's where your feet have to be planted. I think you understand that, but, you know, there's more than 250 mentions of angels in the Bible. I don't have time to go through and talk about it. Majority of those, a lot of those are going to be in the Old Testament. And there are quite a few in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, okay? And I can't go through and look at a lot of references this morning, but let's look at, for a few moments, at a Bible description of angels. Now, I think I put one of my ribbon markers in Psalm 148. I don't know if you did the same thing. And it is Psalm 148. I didn't give you one chapter off here. Psalm 148. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 5. And I can't talk a lot about this. I could spend the whole Sunday school lesson or a whole series on this. But just going to be really hitting the high points here. Psalm 148. I have this in my Bible written down right by Genesis 1:1. This is a scripture with scripture reference in the King James Bible. Psalm 148. And verse number one, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord from the heavens, heavens plural. Praise him in the heights. You can read in the Bible about heavens, first, second, third heaven, okay? It speaks of the second heaven and third heaven. You can read about the heights. You can read about the heavenlies in the Bible, okay? This is something that we're not in and don't have access to. Okay, second heaven, third heaven. Really, we have very, very limited access to the second heaven and have none to the third heaven. Okay, verse 2, praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. And that teaches me something right there when angels are mentioned. And you know how the King James Bible defines itself. It attaches a word to it there in verse 2 that you'll see throughout Scripture, hosts. So that goes together, hosts and angels. If you see that, you know what the hosts are of. It's not mankind. It's not little green men, okay, or little green creatures. It's the hosts, and there's an angelic realm. There's an angelic part of God's creation, and that includes a lot. And I don't want to talk about that necessarily right now, but verse 3, praise ye him, sun and moon. We know where that's at. That's in the second heaven. Praise him, all ye stars of light. We know about them, second heaven. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, something that's above what we can see, sun and moon, stars of light, and ye waters that be above the heavens. You'll read several places in Scripture, even now, especially before the flood, of course, but even now there's waters in the heavens, okay? And by the way, old believers used to know this kind of stuff. They used to write songs about crossing Chile Jordan. And there's all kinds of them. Lots of hymns, but, you know, I didn't write them down ahead of time, so I'm not going to think of them right now. But on Jordan's stormy banks I stand, that might be one, okay? But there's a lot that talks about crossing over. There's a body of water in certain portions and parts of the heavens. And the Bible even speaks of a dragon that's in the sea, okay? That's a principality in the second heaven, all right? And anyway, I'm going to talk about that right now. But there's a lot of stuff I'm going to say I'm not going to talk about right now, I guess, when I talk about this morning. But it says, verse 4, praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Just like what we can see up in the second heaven, the lights, what we can see giving forth light, even in the daytime like the sunshine here in Central Florida here in end of May. What we can see there, you know how it got there? God commanded and it was created. You know, when it came to angels and the whole angelic realm and that whole part of God's creation, whether we want to include cherubim and seraphim, which I think we should in that angelic general term, you know how they got there? God created them. God commanded and they were created. And there's not anything that you can see that was made. Nothing was made. Without him was not anything made that was made. Let's say it that way, according to the scripture in the Gospel of John. So we have some understanding here about angels, and Psalm 148 speaks of that. Let me give you one quick reference, okay? Nehemiah, back to your left, just right before Job and Esther, okay? Nehemiah chapter 8, or chapter 9, verse number 6. Quickly, let me give you this one. Nehemiah 9, 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host. We know what that is. We just, you know, talked about that. The earth, and then it goes into the things that pertain to our realm. The earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein. And thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. And it's going to talking about what God's done on the earth, calling out Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees and things like that. So you see a good scripture with scripture references others, but Nehemiah 9:6 is a good one, is a good reference there. Why were angels created? They were created to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. They were created for God's purpose. And you don't have to take time to go back here unless you still have your marker here, but Colossians 1. Remember how I gave you the wrong chapter? Colossians 1, verse number 16 and 17. I want to not exclude this reference from our study this morning. Let me read it to you real quick. I didn't mark it. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. The Bible says, for by him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, were all things created. And where were these things created? Here's a little list. That are in heaven and that are in the earth. Visible, like the things on the earth, and invisible, like things in heaven. Now here's a, even a better detailed description. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now, I can think of visible thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, but there's also invisible thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. And I've talked to you about this before. Isaiah 14, you can read about some of the first words ever uttered that are recorded in our Bible, God's word, and they were uttered by a cherub that lost his anointed position, the anointed cherub that covereth. His name was Lucifer. He lost that position. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Isaiah 14, 12. And he speaks about how he wanted to ascend above the heights of the clouds, how he wanted to ascend, he wanted to take his throne and exalt it in a higher position. So he had a throne, he had a dominion, and it wasn't good enough for him. He wanted more. He wanted more. And he says, I will. And we talked about, did a whole study on that. That reference with Colossians 1:16, see, God had a purpose and a divine design for all these thrones and dominions, for his angelic creation, and we'll include the higher part of that angelic creation, like the cherubim and seraphim and things like that. And God had a divine purpose for that. They were created, all these thrones and dominions, all this angelic creative order, they were created to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, their creator. That's what Colossians 1:16 and Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It's God's word that's holding everything together. It's God's. He commands it, and it continues to be. His word is eternal. It lasts forever. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our Lord endureth forever. You know the verses that speak to that. God is a God of order. He created heaven. He created a governmental system, an orderly system. It has rank. It functions properly according to, there's no disorder in God's creative system, okay? The only disorder that's in God's creation came because of sin. Satan's sin and Adam's sin. That's the only time you can find disorder and dysfunction and the terrible results of sin. That's the only place you can find it is because of that three-letter word, sin, with that one-letter I right in the middle of it. When Satan did the I thing, and then Adam did the I thing, and then that's how we got sin, and that's how we have all the bad things that we know in our existence today. But God created things in order, with divine purpose. Everything, nothing was empty when God created it. Everything had form and order. The angels were created to fill various heavenly ranks, various positions of authority. Angels have these duties and positions before God. Now, it's important to understand this, that angels are not glorified human beings, okay? Clarence on It's a Wonderful Life, even though we know it's a wonderful movie, he was somebody that he lived in the old country years ago, and then he became an angel, and he was still trying to get his wings and move up the ranks of the angelic realm and all that stuff. No, there's no such thing as a man that was a man or a woman that was a woman. Then they ascended to their position of angel. You know, one fella said his wife had to be an angel because she was always up in the air harping on something, but that's not what we're talking about, okay? Who said that's good? All right. You better be careful, brother, all right? Brand new, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. There's a brand new angel in the choir I want to hear her sing. Well, that's fine. You know, we can consider our grandmother or, you know, some loved one, we can call them an angel. Now they're in God's heavenly choir. But that's not true, okay? We can have that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling about it, but that doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it scriptural, okay? That's not how angels That's not how God's filled his angelic ranks, by, you know, taking this, these good, sweet souls of the of man and men and women and have angelized them as they got to heaven. Do you know that for a believer in Christ Jesus in this age, if you were made an angel when you got to heaven, it'd be a step down? Do you understand that? Okay, I'll talk about that a little bit if we have time. See, man was made a little lower than the angels, Hebrews 2 tells us, Psalm number 8 tells us, right? Man's made a little lower than the angel, than the angels. And even Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the pre-existent Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, before he was incarnate, he already existed. We understand that, right? Okay, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and all that kind of stuff that we know about. So he chose to be made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But he existed before that. You realize that Jesus, Creator God, was, Hebrews 2, made a little lower than the angels. Why? Why? For the suffering of death. He's made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. And we talk about the incarnation in December all the time, of course, with Christmas and everything. And we talk about the purpose of the incarnation. The only reason, do you realize that God could not die for men in his position? God couldn't have became an angel and died for men. That position wouldn't have worked either. He had to become a man to be able to subject himself to death. It was impossible for God to die. I've told you this all the time, but there was no report. You know, there is no Facebook status where it says, you know, please pray for this angelic family. Two angels, you know, after the double shift, were not watching as they, you know, went on their rope on their route back to through the heavens to their city of angels or whatever it is, and they collided, you know, and there was a fatality. No, there's no dead angels. No angels have died this week or today or last week or last year. No angels died. That death is not known in that creative realm. It's man's realm where death reigns because sin reigns, okay? And as long as you have sin present, there's going to be death, for the wages of sin is death. So God, from his exalted position, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, the Almighty, he chose to become a man, born of the Virgin. We talk about the truth of the incarnation all the time. Why? He was made a little lower than the angels for, here's the purpose, for the suffering of death. So he could die and taste death for every man, me and you. Because we deserve death. He wanted to redeem us. He wanted to take our place. He wanted to be our substitute. All those things that we know that God accomplished. And by the way, the book of Hebrews doesn't leave Christ as made lower than the angels for the suffering and death, but he's crowned with glory and honor. And now he's been made better than the angels, Hebrews says. You understand that, right? He was lower, but now he's higher. Back to Colossians 2, if we had time, and we'd say, and I'm not going to go there, but we'd see how he spoiled principalities, how he ascended up, up, up above all. And he spoiled those principalities. He went through and he took, by the way, he took the group that death and Satan formerly had claim to in the heart of the earth. He took them all the way through and removed paradise and moved it up to the third heaven. And that's another study for another time that I've already done. Anyway, so you understand that Christ was lower, but now he's higher. And anybody in Christ today, do you realize that you're above the angels? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bible says we teach angels. Bible says we will judge angels. And I'll explain that if we have time to follow up on this series. But an angel is not a glorified human being, resurrected human being. It's just a different, totally different part of God's creation. Man and angels have completely different nature and substance. Hebrews 2:16 talks about Christ was a partaker of flesh and bone and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not what angels are, okay? They're not fleshly, earthly bodies. You realize we're down here, our body is made of this earth, our body is supposed to continue to be sustained because of the earth. You understand that? What you eat is supposed to come from the earth. And if you do that, like that joke we told before we started the message today, then you're going to have a healthy body that lives on this earth. We're terrestrial beings. We're earthen vessels. Okay? Now, the problem is they've processed so much stuff that a lot of things, it doesn't really come from the earth anymore. It comes from the factory or something, from the manufacturing plant, and it tastes good, but yet we eat it, and it's not good for our physical health. But our bodies are tied. We have earth vessels. We're tied to this earth. That's not how an angel's made. An angel doesn't have to wear an astronaut suit if it's standing on the moon, okay? An angel, when it's out in the second heaven, flying or buzzing around or however that works, They don't have to have oxygen. They're not dependent upon the elements and things that we're dependent upon on this earth. Different substance, different makeup, different body, so to speak, if you want to call it that way. They're spiritual beings. They're spirit beings. Hebrews 1:14. What does Ephesians 6:12 tell us? For we, believers in this age, wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's each other. Everybody in here is sporting flesh and blood today, okay? We don't wrestle against that. We wrestle against things that don't have flesh and blood. Principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, that's no human being there. That's not the highest office in the land, Washington, D.C. That's not what that's speaking of. That's still flesh and blood for the most part that's inhabiting those positions. It's talking about something up in the second heaven, okay? That's what we wrestle against. In the Bible, there are times where an angel is revealed to somebody, and they'll reveal themselves in a bodily form for a specific purpose or reason, but that doesn't mean they're in that bodily form all the time. We think of them as being, men in a different state, but they're not flesh and blood. They're a different substance than us. That's not a typical description or understanding of angels. They don't need a human body in order to exist. That's us that has to have that. Angels are spirit beings. They work, for the most part, what I'd say, invisibly, beyond the reach of man's mortal eyes. They're not composed of flesh and blood like human beings. That's what Hebrews 2:14 says. And I could have went to Hebrews 2 and spent a long time, but I'm trying to hurry through this. Angels are innumerable, aren't they? We understand that. They're innumerable. Hebrews 12:22 speaks of an innumerable company of angels. Man does not have the capacity or the ability to number the angels. Canst thou tell the stars? Can you count them? No. No, you can Google it all you want and people give you their idea, but we don't even know how many stars there are in the sky. And that's just what we're capable of seeing. An angel, we're not able to number the angelic hosts. I mean, there's some numbers given in Scripture, like, Christ says he could have called, 12 legions of angels in Matthew 26. There was a multitude of angels that praised God with the announcement of Christ's birth in Luke 2. Revelation 5:11, John saw 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, okay? It's a lot of angels. It's an innumerable host. It's a heavenly army. Think about that. You know, an angelic host is going to come back with the Lord Jesus at the second coming, at the second advent. That's going to actually usher in that worldwide peace that man thinks he's progressing towards but getting further from all the time. And an angel's going to bind Satan in the bottomless pit. You can read about that, Revelation 20, in different places. And I think those are familiar references to us, but there's a lot that the Scripture says about angels. Angels are not glorified human beings. They're an innumerable host. They possess great knowledge and wisdom. Angels do. I could give you some references for that. 2 Samuel 14 would be a good reference. Chapter 14, verse 20. I'm not going to take time to go to it, but remember this. Angels have existed for a long time, okay? We know man's existed for somewhere around 6,000 years, okay? And our earth and man's earth and Adam, we can somewhat date that. We can call it a young earth or whatever. And we can date that somewhere around 6,000 years. But you can't date the existence of angels. I believe, my personal opinion is, angels were created before time was in place. And if you do that, then that's one of the reasons you can't date somebody. That's one of the reasons you can't say how old God is. He's always been, and we can understand that. But you can understand it if you say that God existed before time existed. Time's the only thing that tells us something has to have a beginning and something has to have an end. Time's the only thing that brings the finite equation into the picture. If there is no time, then it's no big deal to understand something has always existed. Now, do you follow me, or does that make smoke come out of your ears? Which one? See, God existed before time existed. And I believe angels existed before time existed. That's my personal opinion on that. And so they have much knowledge and much wisdom. I don't know very much, but I know more now at my age than I did 10, 15, 20 years ago. Okay? Now, just if you get to live for thousands and thousands of years, then you ought to learn something along the way, right? So they have a lot of knowledge. They have a lot of wisdom. Some of you are thousands of years old. You're very smart, right? I'm just kidding. Angels have great power and might. Psalm 103, verse 20 tells us that angels excel in strength. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 11. I didn't mark that one, so I'm going to turn to it real super quick. Is that in the New Testament? Chapter 2, verse number 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might. Okay? When it comes to, you want to compare them to men? Well, an angel is greater in power and might. That's why when you have angels in the outfield, your team's going to win a game, you know? Okay? All that kind of stuff. They excel in strength. They're greater in power than might. In Isaiah 37, an angel smote 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. They got so smote, they didn't even know they were smote. When they woke up in the morning, they realized they were dead, right? That's what the Bible says. Remember in Matthew 28:2? Remember there was a big stone rolled in front of the tomb of the Lord Jesus, the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea? You know that those stones, they say, typically would, you know, big granite pieces of slabs of rock that'd be 4, 5, 10 tons, okay? 20,000 pounds, like you know, 8 cars or something, you know, 8 of my dad's cars. You know, he likes big cars. And they're very heavy, very heavy. But it's not heavy for an angel to move. And they didn't, by the way, roll the stone away so for Jesus to get out. They rolled the stone away for everybody to see that Jesus isn't in there anymore. And then they do these specials on the History Channel. Well, how did these, you know, how did these 8-ton rocks get placed in this, you know, megalithic structure and foundation? Well, if angels were involved, like the Bible says they were in Old Testament times, they had no problem moving those big rocks. Okay, anyway, that's Matthew 28, too, actually shed some light on the unsaved folks on the History Channel there. And so when an angel wants to do something or is sent to do something, an angel can do something. Way beyond human capabilities or even what our minds can imagine. Better look out. Angels don't get old. Do you know that? Remember, they were created before time, so they're not subject to Father Time. They're not getting wrinkles or looking in the mirror trying to buy anti-aging products from their home shopping channel or anything like that. Angels never change. They never age. They never get wrinkles. They never need vitamins. They don't have to take their daily supplements. They don't have to wear glasses or anything like that. They don't go through the degenerative process. Angels have no concept of death. I could give you some more references on that, but I'm really kind of running out of time. Mark 16 is a good one there, where the lady's at the sepulcher of the Lord Jesus after he's risen on the third day there. They come in, they see a young man sitting there. And if you look at Matthew 28, you realize this young man is an angel. Okay, and it refers to him as a young man, even though he's got to be really, really old, right? He's older than Adam. He was before Adam. And so, you know, he's 6,000 plus in age, but it refers to him as a young man, okay? So you got to think about it that way, not in the human side of things, but in the scriptural side of things. I don't have time to look at all the rest of this, but angels are joyful creatures. You can read that reference in Job 38, and God's doing some of his creating in verses 5 through 7, laying the foundations of the earth and his creation and all that kind of stuff. And it talks about, calls them the morning stars, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. There's your angelic realm. They were around praising God as he spoke things into existence. They're getting all excited about it, which you would have too, by the way, if you would have been there, but you weren't. And neither was Job, and neither was his three friends, and that was God's point there in Job 38. So don't ever get to thinking you're too big for your britches and know so much. You weren't even around when I did this, is what God was saying. But there were some around. And God's going to reign before his ancients gloriously, Isaiah 24, in the future. And that's not talking about old men. It's not talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's going to reign before his ancients gloriously, the ones that have been around for a long time. Luke 15:10 says, when a sinner repents, that the angels rejoice. There's joy in the presence of angels over one lost soul that repenteth, I think. That's what it talks about. So they're a joyful group. Man, they know, they've seen God do what God does. They have a different perception of God than what we do. They know him in a different way. So they're joyful creatures. And by the way, we ought to be joyful creatures also. Because remember, if we became an angel, that'd be a step down from what we are right now in Christ Jesus. And I'll talk about that at some other time. Revelation 5:12, the angels are seen praising Jesus with a loud voice. There's so much more that we could talk about, but that's kind of an introduction to angels. Not the Hollywood version, but the Holy Scripture version. Amen? And the Holy Scripture version's better. And so pay attention to that every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Let's get our account.